is Digital Marketer.
This week, it's Josh Turner. Hello, and welcome to the Digital Marketer podcast. Today, Garrett is talking with Josh Turner, the founder of Linked Selling. Josh is going to be talking about ways you can use the LinkedIn platform to benefit your business. In the episode, you'll hear about the Insights tag, which is LinkedIn's pixel, how to use sponsored InMail, and Josh is going to share some case studies that highlight how to use the LinkedIn ads platform successfully.
Josh, thank you so much for joining us here in Austin, Texas at DMHQ. How you doing, man?
Great to be here, man. Doing great.
Yeah, well, good. Well, good. So before you started Linked Selling and Linked University, you were a finance guy. Could you kind of take us back a ways and share how you went from CFO to CEO and founder of a completely different company?
Yeah. So the company I was working for before starting our company today was a construction and manufacturing firm that got hit really hard by the downturn in 08 and 09.
Yeah, yeah.
They shut their doors in 2009, late 2009. And I really just decided, you know what, I don't want to go to work for somebody else. I want to start my own thing, and this is the kick in the pants I need to make it happen.
Yeah.
So I've been itching to do my own thing for a while, and that was kind of the push I needed, I guess. So at first, I started working as a freelance or outsourced CFO for small businesses.
Okay.
In the St. Louis area. And the thing that was working best for me to get clients was LinkedIn. And at the time, there was really very few, if any, people that really understood how to use LinkedIn for business development and really getting bona fide sales appointments, not just the fluffy vanity stuff. So I kind of developed this process for my own business. And then I had a couple of my finance clients ask me if I thought that it would work for them too.
Yeah.
And so I kind of showed them how I would do it if I were in their shoes. And one of them said, why don't you just do it for us? So long story short, I did. Mm-hmm. That was our first client. That went really well. And so I thought, well, if it can work for them, it worked for my business. I bet there's a lot more people out there that could use this kind of service. And I don't see anybody doing it right.
Yeah. And this was what, nine years ago?
Late 2011, early 2012.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. At the time, there was just nobody doing it.
Right.
So I threw up linkedselling.com and built a really simple site myself just to see maybe if this was a real business with legs and it. And it really took off.
Yeah.
And so pretty quickly in 2012, I started winding down the outsourced CFO business.
Okay.
And just went all in on helping businesses grow using LinkedIn. And primarily it was an agency model where companies pay us to take over their LinkedIn accounts, campaigns, pages, and such, and run them using our methods. And pretty quickly on, I realized that there's a lot of people out there who aren't in a place yet, or for many reasons, even if they can't afford it, having us do it for them just wasn't the right option. Huh. And so in 2012, we started building out our training programs.
Yeah, yeah.
Much lower priced, you know, kinds of things.
You can do it yourself.
Yeah, so for that market, it was really good. And then, that's been a huge catalyst for our business as well. And helped the agency side. And so today we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 50-50 in terms of where our revenue comes from smaller businesses that are buying our training programs and doing it themselves and implementing it. And then the rest of it are companies hiring us to do it all for them.
So why LinkedIn? I mean, what's so special, what's so unique about LinkedIn compared to the plethora of other advertising platforms that really just, you know, piqued your interest and really made you want to dive straight into LinkedIn?
So when I was using it for my business at the very beginning, it was because it was the only place that I knew of that I could go research the prospects who looked like the right people for me to try and introduce myself to try and convert them into clients.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really do that with Facebook. You can't go on there and search for people based on their title and then connect with them. And you know, it's just not, Facebook doesn't work that way, but mm-hmm. LinkedIn does. And so if you know the right way to approach people, you can get a good percentage of them to connect with you there and then develop a relationship with them and try and move it offline into a real world conversation. And so that's really why I did it. And LinkedIn just, you know, if you're in B2B, which of course I was at the time and still am today, if you're selling to other businesses or people that work in businesses, there's really nowhere else that is quite as powerful. Facebook's come a long way in terms of business targeting as well.
Okay.
We're huge proponents of Facebook and do a lot with Facebook for our own business and for our clients too.
Yeah.
But, you know, for B2B, LinkedIn is definitely where it's at. And the other great thing about LinkedIn is that, you know, I have a real soft spot in my heart for startups and small businesses because that's the background I come from. And my dad was a small business owner and, you know, I run a small business today. Mm-hmm. And LinkedIn is a great thing for people who are like me, people who are, when I was just starting, you know, when I was working out of my house, a lot of people just need a way to get in front of more prospects and get more at bats. And if you're willing to just put in a little elbow grease, you know, you don't have to have money to spend on ads and you don't have to, you know, have any complicated funnels and all that stuff. So for a lot of people who are just getting their businesses up and running, that's a, you know, pretty attractive thing for them.
No doubt.
The biggest changes, though, to our business over the last couple of years has been helping more people with some of the more advanced things and people that do have budgets for ads, mm-hmm. because LinkedIn advertising has really come a long way over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So that's been a huge, huge focus for us over the last couple of years. And, you know, so as businesses grow and evolve, and for anybody that's, you know, running webinars or has a sales team that they need appointments for, or has a funnel that's working on Facebook or somewhere else and is looking for more traffic, you know, LinkedIn oftentimes is it's becoming more and more effective and a lot more people are looking at it.
No doubt. And I mean, you mentioned, you know, the ad side of it, but organic is a really good play for people to make those connections and do that development as well.
Well, that's right? Usually where most people are going to start out.
Yeah.
Smaller businesses and, you know, a lot of the folks in our training programs, they're using the organic side of LinkedIn to go out, use their personal LinkedIn profile and connect with prospects.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then it's a little bit larger businesses or folks who are doing some more sophisticated digital marketing who are tapping into the ad side.
Okay. Makes sense. So would you say that LinkedIn's only for B2B, or do you think that there's a market for B2C for advertising on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I think the B2C market is there. There's different applications.
Yeah.
So, you know, bigger B2C brands that have a big budget and can spend money on things like brand awareness could use LinkedIn advertising to just get their message out in front of people.
Right.
And not really worry about immediate ROI or any of that kind of stuff. But aside from that, for anybody that's like, well, I do care about ROI and I can't just spend money for brand awareness. If you're in a B2C, you know, business, you're probably not going to go on LinkedIn and try and sell a dog collar to somebody.
Yeah.
But you could use LinkedIn to get in front of wholesalers or buyers or people in the media that might want to do a write-up about you and things like that. So there's a lot of the kind of back office stuff that makes sense for B2C, as well as building relationships with people in the press that make a lot of sense, and joint venture stuff and things like that. Some of our best affiliate partners or joint venture partners that we have are people who we initially reached out to on LinkedIn. And so even if you're selling a widget, building relationships with the people who can introduce you to lots of their customers is a great way to use LinkedIn too.
Totally. So, you know, we hear a lot that, you know, I'm scared or I don't want to dive into LinkedIn ads because it's so expensive. And it is. I mean, it isn't a cheap avenue to advertise. But how do you encourage people to start dabbling and get their, you know, their feet wet with LinkedIn ads if they don't have really a massive budget to kind of test the waters out?
Well, one of the very first things that I think anybody should do is LinkedIn's got something called an insights tag.
Okay.
Which is like their version of the Facebook pixel.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the code, you put it on your website, and then it allows you to then build these audiences of people who have visited your website that you can potentially then retarget in different ways.
Gotcha.
So as a very first step, even if you're not planning on even spending any money on it, it's a great thing to do because the other thing it gives you is a lot of data on who are the people that are visiting your website.
Yeah.
It'll show you, you know, anybody that's hit your website, what their job titles are, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you don't get the exact profiles.
Right, right.
But it gives you the broad brush of like, hey, 60% of the people visiting your website have the title CEO and on and on and on. And
that's
really good stuff to have.
Yeah. Helps you build those personas, those avatars of who your actual customers are.
Yeah, there's a lot of value you can get from that. It, you know, aside from that first step, it really just comes down to, I think, understanding, you know, what the ROI model is for whatever it is you're trying to sell. And so LinkedIn on the surface is going to be higher cost per click most of the time than Facebook.
Yeah.
But what we find is that if your audience is on LinkedIn, if you're B2B, you're selling to people in businesses, then your people are going to be on LinkedIn. Oftentimes, we will end up seeing that, yeah, the cost for a click is higher, but then we're getting sometimes a higher opt-in rate if we're promoting a book or a webinar or something like that, or straight to a sales appointment or whatever it might be. And when you look at the entire like life cycle of the funnel, we're oftentimes seeing a higher conversion rate, so higher dollar ROI compared to some other places.
Interesting.
So you really have to look at it like, you know, not just what's it going to cost me for a click,
right?
But you know, what's the quality of the clicks and how does that going to compare and how's that all going to flow through?
Yeah.
Everybody's business is different though.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that generally speaking, you know, we're usually, if we're running a campaign to get people to sign up for a webinar on LinkedIn, I'm going to be paying $15 to $20 to get somebody on a webinar.
Okay.
Where maybe for the same webinar on Facebook, it costs me $8 to $10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that's some of the numbers that we've seen in our business, for example.
Yeah.
But then we see from LinkedIn really, really quality traffic.
Okay.
And so then when you look at upsells and the full, you know, lifetime value of a lead, you know, that we're fine paying more for it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. One thing that I really want to dive into is kind of some case studies and just some examples of some campaigns that you've worked on or ran for your business that could serve as a great example for people out there who want to start running LinkedIn ads or improve their LinkedIn ads.
Yeah, absolutely. So LinkedIn recently, we partnered with them and they released a case study about one of the campaigns that we've had a lot of success with that is targeting both cold and warm audiences and driving them straight to a sales appointment with our sales team.
Okay.
And so the exact campaign that they, you know, dug into for this case study was one where we spent, it was roughly 8 to 1 ROI on the, you know, the revenue to ad spend.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent about $10,000 on ad spend and generated about $80,000 in sales from it. And that's for a high ticket offer that's average roughly $20,000, you know, contract price.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is a combination of a few things, but we're using, you know, I mentioned that insights tag earlier, which so we're building these LinkedIn calls them matched audiences, just similar to Facebook custom audiences.
Okay.
And so we're able to retarget that traffic with sponsored content in the main homepage feed on LinkedIn. And then we're doing two things there. One is we have a couple different videos we use. One's an animated explainer video, and one is a talking head with me.
Okay.
Essentially talking about the value of what we do and what we do in a 60-second soundbite, and then encouraging them to sign up for a call to chat with someone on our team to see if it's a fit.
Yeah.
So we'll have that running, which is just, I mean, literally pitching the appointment in their newsfeed, not asking them to opt in to get something.
Right.
And so that is working in some cases really well. And at the same time with that same campaign, we also had running a free report download.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty straightforward strategy there. Download the free report, then on the thank you page, pitch to get on the phone, and then an email campaign on the back of that to drive people into that phone call as well.
Okay.
And then the third component of that is sponsored in-mail.
Yeah.
So sponsored in-mail is messages that you can send to almost anybody on LinkedIn, really. You don't hand select the people, but you use criteria to say, I want a message to hit the inbox of anybody that fits this profile.
Yeah.
Right.
And believe it or not, that's how I was hired here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. It's really effective.
And it is.
LinkedIn has, to their credit, I believe, and they may have updated the rules since I last dug into this, but I think that they won't allow any user to receive more than one of those a month.
Yeah.
They're not going to let it turn into like a spam fest of marketers blasting people's inboxes.
Because it would.
Yeah. Yeah. But right now, not that many people are using it or really understand that how powerful it can be.
Yeah.
So one of the key things we do with it is that we retarget people that visit our website with a sponsored in-mail, inviting them to sign up for a phone call. So somebody hits our website, looks into our company to some extent, there's a good chance that over the next few weeks, they're going to get a message from us in their LinkedIn inbox talking a little bit about what we do and inviting them to a phone call. And that's just crushing it right
now.
So it's kind of a combination of those three things that's really driving the results for us. And, you know, so for our internal campaigns right now we're spending about $20,000 a month on LinkedIn ads for campaigns that are all about getting appointments on our calendars for the sales team.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say on that 20K in total, it's always 8 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
But some months are pretty darn close to that. Some months are a little more. I think the lowest one that I've seen was one of a month where maybe it was 2.5 to 1 or something like that.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, and that's those are sales right on the front end too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there's a lot more, you know, leads and long term more of that business will close.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so, you know, if we go back and look at those numbers a year from now, it could be significantly greater than that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So that's one that we're real excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you actually, I was peeking at your deck because we're updating the paid acquisition cert here and you're doing the LinkedIn section. And I peeked at your deck and you have cost per appointment. Is that something that you kind of coined?
Yeah, I don't know who coined it or maybe we did, but you know, it's a number that we pay a lot of attention to of, you know, if any campaign we're running, how much are we paying per appointment?
Right.
And because we just, you know, I kind of know in the back of my head that I really don't want to spend much more than $2,000 or $3,000 to acquire a client.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a few different things that we do in our business. So that's for like our agency services.
Yeah.
If we don't want to spend more than $2,000 or $3,000 to acquire a client, if I can kind of, you know in the back of my head roughly how our sales team is converting, and then I can, you know that like, hey, we don't really want to be over $250 per appointment, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's why we keep really close tabs on that number. And that way, it's kind of like a really quick back of the napkin method for me. I just don't have the time in the day to be digging into numbers and analytics on every campaign we're running and every ad set and this and that. And it could, not only within LinkedIn, but Facebook and the other places that we're advertising and marketing. And so I can really quickly just see if anything that we're doing, how much is, you know, how much are we paying for an appointment on average from this? And then I could just know, okay, well, I feel good about that and I don't have to dig into the rest of it.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds great. Well, LinkedIn seems like it's kind of just getting started almost with its ad platform. So I was curious if you kind of had some insights or if you could kind of look into your crystal ball a little bit and share what you think is kind of on the horizon and beyond for LinkedIn as a platform.
You know, I haven't given that too much thought because we're just really seeing that the greatest opportunity here in the short term is just maximizing the, you know, all this new stuff that they've rolled out that I've been talking about today. So, you know, my hopes are that they just continue to improve on this like they have done over the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they will. They seem to be really trying to create something that is as good as Facebook. Because Facebook's ad platform and, you know, campaign manager and all, whatever you call the whole thing, is you know, pretty darn robust.
It is.
Yeah. And LinkedIn is not quite at that level yet,
mm-hmm.
but they're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
You know, and so
they've
think
come a long way.
They have come a long way. And at the same time, too, there's something to be said for simplicity. And LinkedIn is a little bit more intuitive than Facebook ads are in some ways. But I think the thing to be excited about is that they're obviously investing a lot in the development of it,
mm-hmm.
and continuing to grow it and doing a lot of things to get people to spend more time on LinkedIn and reinvesting and changing a lot of things related to LinkedIn groups. And I think there's going to be some cool stuff coming out on that in the future too. But, you know, LinkedIn's owned by Microsoft now,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, I would think that they've got some people there a lot smarter than me. So I'm just going to sit back and wait and see what they do.
There you go. Well, we've got a lot of business owners who listen to this podcast and appreciate hearing kind of some of the stories of fellow business owners. So are there some, you know, big challenges that you faced growing your business or starting your business that you had to overcome that you'd like to share?
Well, I think that, you know, we've grown significantly. We've been on the Inc. 5000. We were on the Inc. 500 list a couple years in a row, and then 5000 wow. the year after that. And so, I mean, we've done really well. And it's, so it's hard for me to look back and say, like, boy, if we would have done this, we could have grown even that much more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's other people that have been in businesses, you know, in our space for the same amount of time as us and are much further ahead than us and doing really cool things.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that it's not getting caught up in what other people are doing. I've learned that the hard way. Over the last couple of years, we've gotten a lot better at staying in our lane. Whereas prior to that, we were doing a lot of things because we saw other people in our industry doing them and thought that, well, that's a good revenue opportunity. And if other people are doing this, we could do that too. And so, you know, we had a few different programs that we launched, and one of them turned into a 7-figure program. Another one was, you know, doing $500,000 a year in revenue. And so they weren't flops or anything.
Right.
But what happened for us was that they, you know, we realized that we can't do it all.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to focus on the things that we can be really, really excellent at and go back to like our main core programs. And doing that over the last couple of years has made our business more profitable and a better place to work for our team.
Totally.
Because you can't do it all.
Yeah.
And when you have a marketing team that's a certain size, a sales team that's a certain size, and if you put too many initiatives and too many responsibilities and too many priorities
mm-hmm.
on their plate, then it just becomes unrealistic, and people are constantly running around with their hair on fire. And so trimming back a little bit,
yeah.
and refocusing on our core programs has been, I would say, a good learning.
Yeah,
you know, lesson
no
for
doubt.
Us.
I mean, we talk about the idea of niching down, and it's so important for your business. But it's almost like niching within your niche. You know,
mm-hmm.
finding those things that are the main focus of your business, and just going all in. So
sure.
I love that. Well, we ask everyone who comes on the show this question, and it's definitely my favorite of the day. So, if you could go back in time and knowing what you know now, talk to your 25-year-old self, what advice would you give to him, or what would you tell him?
I would tell him to build a sales team sooner than I did.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's nothing that's going to grow a business more so than figuring out how to get a sales team performing at even an average level.
Yeah.
You don't even have to have the like highest performing, highest converting, badass sales team. And so, you know, I think starting the business, I felt like I needed to be further along before I started putting those kinds of people in place, and did the sales myself for too long.
Yeah.
And once I got out of my own way in that regard, you know, we've really, really taken off.
Totally. Well, Josh, thank you so much for joining us today. This was great to learn a little bit more about LinkedIn and what you guys are doing over there. Where can people find out more about you and what you've got going on?
Cool, man. Thank you so much for having me. And the best thing that I could offer for folks is that we've got a LinkedIn ads playbook that has a lot of swipes, copies of ads, lots of text copy in it, lots of screenshots from behind the scenes of how everything I walked you through with those three different types of campaigns that are generating appointments for our sales team,
mm-hmm.
as well as some other campaigns that are really working. We've got all of that stuff templated with a complete swipe file. That anybody wants to get their hands on that can go to linkedselling.com/DM, as in digital marketer.
Yeah, yeah.
Not BM. So linkedselling.com/DM, and it's a pretty significant stack of swipes in there for anybody that wants to take a look at that stuff.
Awesome. Thanks for offering that up. So that's linkedselling.com/DM. All right, man. Thanks so much. I hope to have you back here soon. You'll be at Traffic and Conversion Summit this year, which will be a lot of fun. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Digital Marketer Podcast. For more information and show notes, go to digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.